quite the quake.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Everyone says California will one day fall into the ocean because of all the earthquakes here. But a major tremor in the Golden State didn't come from the San Andreas Fault. It came from Sacramento, where lawmakers and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger reached a deal to close the state's $26 billion deficit.
It was like a suspense movie. Like I said, we have accomplished a lot. This is a budget that will have no tax increases, a budget that is cutting spending.
The governor's not finished yet, though. Both chambers of the state legislature have to pass the plan with two-thirds votes, and Schwarzenegger will have to sign it. The state's been mired in a budget crisis and has been issuing IOUs. A couple of times a year, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke owes the American people an explanation about the economy. He goes before Congress today to start 2 days of testimony on the Hill. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
The Fed has poured money into the economy to keep it afloat. All that extra cash may eventually lead to inflation, and many investors would like to know how Bernanke and company plan to prevent that. The Fed chairman gave a hint of what he might say before Congress in a column in today's Wall Street Journal. He outlined the steps the Fed could take to fight inflation down the road, like raising interest rates and taking money out of the system. Chris Lowe is an economist at FTN Financial.
If we're going to have runaway inflation, it can't be done without the cooperation of the central bank. And Bernanke is making a commitment not to do that, which is just the right thing.
Bernanke may find himself on the defensive today. Some members of Congress have criticized the central bank for its role in the financial crisis. Critics say the Fed failed to police banks and let the era of easy money go on too long. Bernanke's term expires in January, and he's fighting to keep his job. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
I wonder if Wall Street will be listening closely to Mr. Bernanke's testimony today. They've been eyeing a lot of things lately. CIT's $3 billion bondholder financing agreement and some relatively positive economic news bolstered stocks a bit yesterday. The S&P 500 climbed more than 1%. The Dow closed at 8848, up 104 points, more than 1% there. European stocks are mostly higher right now, and Asian markets closed mixed today. Nearly a quarter of South African citizens are officially out of work. Yet those who are working are dissatisfied. Strikes and unrest have made a difficult go of it, all part of a financial crisis and a shift in the country's political administration. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
Construction workers in hard hats and overalls demonstrate in the streets of Johannesburg, demanding double-digit wage increases. 34-year-old Bulalane Nkaza is a carpenter. Last week, he was one of 70,000 laborers who downed tools at stadiums being built for the Soccer World Cup. He makes about $10 a day, but says he needs more money to support his family.
I need the money because I have children. I support children at school, but this money that I got here, nothing can I do with it.
Construction workers got a 12% pay hike, and they're not alone in resorting to industrial action. In the past few months, there's hardly a sector here that hasn't gone on strike or threatened to do so. Teachers, gold miners, municipal workers, television employees. South Africa's new president, Jacob Zuma, took office in May. He ran on a populist platform backed by the country's labor unions and Communist Party. Dale McKinley is a political analyst in Johannesburg.
Zuma has risen on a ticket of a promise of reducing inequality and reducing poverty for the vast majority of black South Africans.
Now many workers want Zuma to pressure public and private sector employers to raise wages. Consumer inflation is at 8%. Food and electricity prices are up as much as a third from last year. Zuma now has to find a balance between fiscal discipline and labor's pent-up demands.
This administration came into a ship which was already full of water.
Makulule Lukele is an orthopedic surgeon with the South African Medical Association. He says doctors in the public health system have had grievances for years, but they often went ignored by Zuma's predecessor, Thabo Mbeki. Last month, thousands of doctors walked out of government hospitals in a wildcat strike.
It takes a lot of frustration. It's painful for a doctor to do that.
The wave of industrial action isn't over. 65,000 workers in the petroleum, paper, and chemical sectors just said they plan to strike over pay. And eyes are on South Africa's new president, to see whether he will blink. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Finally, a little piece of history goes on the auction block today. D.C.'s Watergate Hotel will be sold. It's the complex, of course, made famous by the 1972 burglary, which led to Richard Nixon's resignation. It is an all-too-common scenario lately. The hotel owner defaulted on its loan. And thousands of commercial properties across the country are facing bankruptcy or foreclosure, more than double the number from last year. As Danielle Carson reports, hotels are the hardest hit of all.
Even trophy properties like the Watergate Hotel aren't immune to the effects of the recession and credit crunch. As many as 1 in 5 hotels in the U.S. may default over the next year. The reason?
Business expenses have been cut dramatically. Vacations have been cut dramatically as well. You put those together, it's not a very good outlook for hotels across the country.
Brian Dawson is with the real estate firm Cushman & Wakefield. Overall, commercial real estate foreclosures have shot up across the country. In New Jersey, they're triple what they were last year. Lawrence Yun, chief economist with the National Association of Realtors, says a jittery lending market is making things tough.
Because of the credit crunch, there are very few buyers showing up, and hence many of the distressed properties defaulting.
Analysts say it's going to get worse for the commercial real estate sector when nearly $1.5 trillion of debt comes due in the next few years, especially if lenders aren't willing to refinance the loans. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Hey, got some thoughts on the recession? Share them with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.